Yeah, we know there's a mitzvah tfilas kelim. Pasuk in Parshas Matos. The Parshas Matos says that we have to be tovel kelim, but the Torah is not clear as to whether we are whether there is a prohibition an iser in using the kelim if they're not being tovel. Is it a mitzvah? When the yeshivas is discussed, is it a mitzvah? Is it a matir? So the Torah writes, "Alekech kelim chadashim and anochi also lishtamish ben ad shiat bilaim tevila aygenes." That when purchases a keli from a non-Jew, there is an iser, there's a prohibition in using it until one does an appropriate tevila. An appropriate tevila means without any chatzitzas in the mikveh of arbaim sa. The Torah repeats this at the very end of the siman. And he said, points out that even though there is an Easter in using it, however, if one would use it, it does not make the food in any way Easter. Is it Easter Vishtamshus? What is the basis for the Easter Vishtamshus? So there are four positions in that. There is the Shita of the Raviyah that that there is no Easter Vishtamshus. There's only a mitzvah of Tfilah, but there is no Easter in using it, and we obviously do not pass like the Raviyah. The Torah that we just cited is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There is an Easter to use the keli without being doing tefillah. Exactly what is the nature of that Easter? So there are those who say, and the Mishnah Brura is machriya this way, that it's an Easter de Rabbana. The Mitmenei Raiser is a mitzvah to be tovel kelim, but if I'm not tovel kelim, in a raisa there's no iser to use the keli. Chazal made an iser to use the keli. We can speculate whether it was to strengthen the mitzvah or whether it was to give further expression to the idea of tefillas kelim that we are bringing something into a home and it should therefore be in some way receiving some kind of sort of Chanukah, the way that kelim receive any dedication to go through a Chanukah process in Beis HaMikdash. So a keli comes from a non-Jewish source. It requires a process in order to make it into something that fits onto a Jewish table. However, the Shita number two and number three are that the Rambam, the Or Zeruah, and the Prima Godim, they all hold the Easter Day Raisa, and that the Torah established an Easter. That in addition to the Torah saying there's a chiv to do tefillah, there's an Easter to use it. Some point out that the context of the East of the din of tefillas kelim is the parsha of hechsher kelim. So it's just as if I have a keli that absorbed tarfus, there's an iser to use the keli until I go through a process of agola. Similarly, there is an iser to use a keli. So we paskin does not make the food also. It is not like tarfus, but our relationship to the keli without tvila is the same as our relationship to the keli without agola. And then there is a fourth approach, and that is that the Easter is an Easter de Raisa, but it's an Easter because I am ignoring the mitzvah saseh. It's a vital mitzvah saseh. So again, it boils down to the question of whether the din of tvilas kelim is a matir. Did the Kadosh Baruch Hu say there's an Easter to use a keli that comes from a non-Jewish origin in your home, a kli suda, and this is the way to release oneself of the Easter, to do the mitzvah of tvilah? Or did Chazal say a mitzvah of tzvila? All right? Now, if I ignore a mitzvah, like any mitzvah, if God forbid a person ignores the mitzvah of tzvilin, he's mevatel the mitzvah of tzvilin. When is it considered that I'm mevatel the mitzvah of tzvila when I use the keli? Purchasing the keli is not a vital mitzvah, but to use the keli without a tzvila, that would be a vital asay. So those are the four shitas. We paskin that it's also to use. We do not paskin the Raviyah. Shmishnah Berurah paskins that it is a din derabbanon. And we will later on come to discuss whether the poskim accept the achra of the Mishnah Berurah, and whether the poskim view it as a vitol asay or whether it is an iser to begin with. And for example, For example, one quick nafkamina would be, God forbid, an onen. Then an onen is not mechuyev in mitzvahs, but an onen cannot do isurim. So can an onen use a keli that has not been toveled yet? So if you hold that it's an isur, he can't do isurim. If you hold that it's a bitul asay, well, he's not mitzvah in the asay. So at this point, he would not be bevatul asay, because he's not mitzvah in the essay. That's just a very quick nafkamina between the two tzadim. What we are going to be doing, halacha lamasa, in our community, is we are going to be having a toivler. I don't know if that's if that is a title, but we're going to make the title. And we're going to have a person who takes the kalim right now, as we speak. So we've opened up the kalim mikveh for chasanim and kalos, because they have the biggest tzorach, so to speak. So as we opened up the mikveh, we made sure that our protocols were in place, that the mikveh is being clean and sanitized, that only one person at a time is doing the tefillah, so you don't have to worry about social distancing. So right now, as we speak, phase one, we follow the governmental protocol. You have to have at least two phases. Phase one, we have to have at least three phases. Phase one was chasanim and kalos. They can make an appointment, and they get a chunk of time, do all the dishes, and then they're done. Phase number two, I'm not sure exactly when we're going to begin. Perhaps next week, we'll see. But phase number two is open to the public. People make appointments, but whereas before we closed, people made their appointments and brought their own kalim, and then we had to sanitize the mikveh between every single appointment, in this case, we'll have a person hired by the mikveh. That way, we don't have to sanitize in between each use, and the person who has the kalim will bring the kalim, he'll bring his grill, he'll make sure that there's no chatzitzas on it. That is the responsibility of the owner. Brings the kalim to a table, walks away, the toiler comes, everybody's masked and gloved, and except for the kalim. They can't, but the people have to be masked and gloved. So they, and the toiler will take the kalim, put it in the mikveh, then bring it back to the table, and again, it'll be done by appointment so that the, so that we have safety protocols. Again, our rabbanim have checked it out with various health professionals to make sure that the protocols are all ones that satisfy the requirements of infectious disease experts. Okay, now, is there any downside with that? Oh, good question. Is there any, the only person who makes the bracha is the guy who does the tovling. The owner does not make the bracha. Is there any downside to this? So there is, a Shulchan Aruch says that one cannot have a katan do tefillas kalim, because, not because he can't do the tefillah, but he doesn't have that monos that he will get all the stickers off, that'll dunk it below the water, get a chatzitz, all the chatzitz off. So there, if he does the tefillah in front of a godol, and the godol is watching over him to make sure that the tefillah is done properly, then the tefillah is good. The Shulchan Aruch says, if I have a non-Jew doing tefillah skalim, it is also a good tefillah. The same issue. He doesn't have the emunos that he knows the halachas and is doing it properly. But if the tefillah is done properly, technically probably a goy, so then the tefillah is good. So this teaches us that when it comes to tefillah skalim, that it is a process which has to happen. It is not necessarily a process that requires kavana. And that's what the Be'er Heitev points out. Mashma midivrei Ramah, tekan loy be'inan kavana kelal, that we don't require any kavana. V'raya, that if a non-Jew does the tefillas kelim, it works. He has to do an effective tefillah. It has to be no chatzitzas underwater. He may not have that manas for it. Halach l'maisa, we won't accept it. But it's a good tefillah, per se, and if we can find a way of assuring that he did a good tefillah, we'll be makabel tefillah, cotton as well. So it doesn't require kavanah, it's a technical act. In fact, if I stack up my kalim on the edge, on the ledge of the mikveh, and they fall in, I turn and they fall in, that would be a good tefillah. So the Berheitev summarizes the Shitas Harishonim and the Noisei Kalim by pointing this out. Therefore, he says that if I have another Jew who Tovis L'Kalim for me, even if I am unaware that he's in the Tevila for me, it would be a good Tevila. Now, he does point out that this is L'Chadchila, the Taz says that the one deficiency is I don't get to make a bracha. The second deficiency is that the Bach, the Taz's, the father-in-law, one of the Nisei Kalim on the tour, paskins against everything we said. And he says, no, Tevila requires a Kavana, and that the Kalim, the Bach says that this goes according to the Shita that says Tevila for everybody, for Anisha Nida, for Kalim does not require Kavanah. We don't paskin that way. So the Bach disagrees. So the Bach is not accepted by the Ramah B'Shulchan Aruch and Ramah and by the Nesa Kalim. So that is a Shita that we gain when we can do it by ourselves. But given the contingencies that we're working with, we will not be able to respect the Bach's position in this case, which again is not accepted by the Achros HaPoiskim. The Taz says that we lose being able to make a bracha. So that's true, and that's why that'll be Rish Hashem phase 3. We go back to normal. This is not a normal thing to do. It's not the ideal. It's not the Minhag Yisrael. But it is a perfectly good tevila, perfectly effective. One loses the opportunity to do the mitzvah personally. It goes a little bit deeper because of Chazal made a bracha. So that means that Chazal hold that there is a moment of his ayurus in doing the tefila. So it's not just a technical thing. I can't say the bracha. What the Taz is saying is that if Chazal said when you do tefila you say Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvayse v'tzivonu, then it's a moment of being mechaven to the kiddushas Yisroel, which is expressed through tefilas kalim. So it is a very significant thing to lose the opportunity to say a bracha. Nevertheless, we want to get our mikveh open, our kelim mikveh running, up and running. And this way, in fact, one of the curiosities of this parsha is that this, when we were doing tevila by most of the kelim mikveh in the large cities had closed down right at the beginning of the COVID parsha, and we kept ours open. Because we worked out a very, very strict protocol, and the protocol was vetted by infectious disease people. It was vetted by the CDC, the local representatives of the DOH, and we went to great expense in terms of washing down the mikveh, kelim mikveh, between every single person. And it worked, Baruch Hashem. Cleveland did the Toivler approach. And for some reason that I'm not sure of, they ultimately, when we closed down our mikveh with our approach, they closed down their mikveh with their approach. What's a curiosity is that now that we're starting up again, the Cleveland mikveh adopting our approach, and we've adopted the Cleveland approach. Exactly why, I'm not sure. But I guess the mikveh is always more chlorinated on the other side or something. Appreciated our approach. I'm not sure why. We're not doing the previous approach because of the cost involved. Although this approach will also be costly, but not as costly. And we feel this will be a smoother way of running the mikveh. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do. That's phase 2. That way the mikveh will be open for everybody and we can once again be toivel our kelim.
Rabbi,
if we roll back the let's just focus on the grill because that was the that's why Tzachi's listening. So I want to discuss the grill. He has used his grill many years. But
can I ask a question real quick on what you just said?
Sure.
So because I was a little confused.
Cleveland,
so you're saying
not Chicago, Cleveland.
It's all Midwest. So
yeah, I know.
Now you're saying we're appointing a shliach to do it, and if it's a goy, we don't have to make the bracha, but if the guy who's doing it is a Jew, then he would make a bracha?
If it's a goy, we would not, a goy we could only use if we actually watch him. And if you're actually watching him, then you may be able to make a bracha because you're involved. So right. That's a separate issue.
But, we're using a guttled Jew to do it, and we don't have to watch him. Right. And he's going to make a bracha. Does he make a bracha once for the whole day or for each bowel that comes in? Otherwise,
it depends on the appointment schedule. If it's bang, 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 then he will make one bracha and that will cover. Uh-huh. But if he has to interrupt significantly, then he'll make a new bracha.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, the grill is, we are knowing to tovel grills of the outside, of these outdoor grills, even though we are not noyeg to tovel the racks of our ovens. Now, why is there a difference? So the reason that we're not tovel the racks of our ovens, and that's the minug, is first of all, because it's rare that we put food directly on those racks. Number two, our ovens are mechuber lekarka, and therefore, either by being mechuber, either they are not mekabel tuma, and we follow the rules of kabbalas tuma for this kind of tefillah, which is not a tefillah mituma, or alternatively, because they are mechuber, they are not considered to be klei su'uda. They're not considered to be, and the definition of kalim that require tefillah, klei su'uda, kalim that are that you cook in, that you could bring them to the table, you could eat from them. So exactly why we are not tovel our oven racks is open to debate. There's a discussion about it, but the minug that is established by the postmas, we don't do it. But those reasons don't apply to the grill, the outdoor grill. We put food directly on it. And many of the grills are not mechuber, and they're on wheels, and they roll around. So that is why we would be tova the grills that are the grill our outdoor grills, that metal which interfaces with the food, and only that metal. So that would require a tefillah, because the minug that evolved for the grills inside the ovens. So those reasons don't apply, and therefore it satisfies all of the necessary requirements of Tvilas Kalim. There is a fascinating Mahalach that the Avnei Nezer suggests, and this has been the basis for all of the various psukim that we've had. The question of Tvilas Kalim was probably the most consistently asked question since Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, I was very, very expecting it, and that's why we kept the mikvah open. But even after Pesach, at least once, twice, three times a week, there were questions about Tvilas Kalim. And in each case, I would explain that we should be mafkir the Kalim. But I want to explain the basis for that, because it's a very interesting parsha in halacha. And it begins, at least the psak, I would say, not the parsha. The psak begins with an approach that the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, was mechadish. Sochet Sheva Rebbe points out that he understands that the Iser of using the keli that has not been toivel is an Iser deraisa. However, it is the third position in the chart, the last position that we discussed. And he said, there's a mitzvah to do tefillas kelim. And if I use a keli without doing tefillah, so then I am mevatel that mitzvah saseh. He says, it's like a person who puts on a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. So then he is mevatel the mitzvah tzitzis, like a person who has his tefillin and doesn't put them on, mevatel the mitzvah. So Avnei Nezer says that what happens if I cannot perform the mitzvah? There is a sheet of the Mordechai that we don't follow for various reasons, but it's a much celebrated shita that if a person has a four-cornered beged and it's Shabbos and he cannot put the tzitzis on, so the Mordechai holds you can wear the four-cornered beged without tzitzis. Now, we don't follow that because we look at tzitzis differently. But the Mordechai looks at the mitzvah tzitzis as I have a mitzvah saseh to put my tzitzis on my four-cornered beged. It's Shabbos. I can't can't tie those tzitzit on the four-cornered beged. So when I wear my four-cornered beged on Shabbos without tzitzit, I'm not mevatel the mitzvah. So that position is not broadly accepted. Sometimes it's used as a tziruf when tzitzit snap and when it's in public and one can't change, but the svara of the Mordechai, the Avnezer says, is a svara that we should be applying in other areas. So when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, the Sachar Shavarim says, there is no Iser. We don't follow the Rambam Shita. That it's Osir to use a Kalim without Tfila. We follow the Shita of the Bishayim who say that there is no Iser, that it's not a Matir, that there's a mitzvah of Tfilas Kalim, and if I use my Kalim without doing the Tfila, I'm a Vatla mitzvah. However, if I can't do the mitzvah, so then, I'm not mevatel the essay. Now, his raya for this is a situation where a Jew and a non-Jew buy a keli b'shutfas. And the halacha is that one is not obligated to do tvila, and one can use the keli without tvila. So this is called in the halacha, in the literature, the shaila of the base mayor. So the base mayor says, why don't I have to do tvila? I own part of the keli. So, and this, I have a keli that was made by an Einar Yehudi. I am using this keli. To use a keli in a Yehudi is Osir. And he said they rise to use a keli in a Yehudi. Therefore, I should do tefila. So Zohar Shavarim says the reason why the base Mary's kasha is a good kasha. But that is assuming that there is an Iser de Eraisa to use a Kalev in a Yehudi. However, if it's a mitzvah to do tefillah, so then in this case, I can't do the mitzvah of tefillah. The mitzvah of tefillah is on a Kalev that has come from an Einar Yehudi's property to a Yehudi's property. This still has the Einar Yehudi's property. So it doesn't require tefillah. So therefore, the Sachar says that we paskin that we are allowed to use a keli of that I co-own, that I partnered with an Eini Yehudi. Why are we allowed to use it? If there was an Isid Deiraisa sitting on this keli, I couldn't use it. It must be, there's no Isid Deiraisa. There's a mitzvah to do tefillah. In this particular case, there's no mitzvah doing tefillah because it hasn't really left any Yehudi's property yet. So therefore, there's no mitzvah. By using it, I'm not mevatel the mitzvah. Meshulma Zaman Orbach, he accepts this psak and he applies it to the situation where I'm eating in a kosher hotel and it's kosher and the mashgichim said the food is kosher. But they cannot ascertain whether the kalim had been taken to mikveh. So I'm sitting there having my meal in a kosher establishment, and the mashgiach is around, and I shmooze the mashgiach, and I say to what kalim mikveh is around here, and the mashgiach says we only do food, we don't do kalim. We do food only. We do trumas and maaseres, and we do our fresh achala, and we take care of the shechita, and we check, but we don't do kalim. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said, you're allowed to eat. Why? Because I can't walk out with these dishes to the local mikveh and do tefillah. So since I can't do that, if I use these kalim, I'm not mevatel a mitzvah. Now, other places can say, yes, that's correct, but you are being machshil, the owner of the hotel, by using the kalim. Because as you're eating it, he's really using it through you. But that's not the nekuda right now. The nekuda right now is Shlomo Zalman Orbach does accept this svara of the Avnei Nezer. And that being the case, if the kalim mikvah is closed, and there's no place to take the kalim, whether you can use rivers, the Ramah passing, you can use rivers. But who says that the rivers are any more sanitary than the... Then they're free of the virus. Who said? So a person, I'm nervous about going to the rivers. I don't know who else is in the river. Whatever reason, he doesn't want to use the river. So since the Kalim Mikvah is closed, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Rav Shechter paskins is the same way. I'm not sure if he has the same halach. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach paskins, he wrote it in a sefer many years ago, Ma'adoni Oretz. He wrote it in a letter to one of the Tfilas Kalim Svarim, and he wrote it in the Sefer Mincha Shloimeh. and it's a mahalach of the stachach of the Rebbe. So whenever somebody asks me a shaila about can you do tefillas kelim, so what went through my mind is, you know, according to Avnei Nezer from Zalman Orbach, when the poiski ador not chayiv till it opens. Once it opens, you chayiv. Make a bracha. Okay, so that already sets the scene for being able to be lenient. Now, the leniency, which has been most celebrated in this parsha, it began Erev Pesach, and that was based on the Shulchan Aruch that says, Im shochach v'lo yitbil keli me Erev Shabbos, oy Erev Yom Tov, if a person realizes on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that the he looks at a keli and has a sticker on it, and he realizes a sticker that means he didn't do the tefillas kelim. He looks at this. He looks at all the dishes. No tefillas kelim. He's expecting guests. He wants to eat his food benachas. So what does he do? So he can't be tovel in Shabbos. He used to do tefillah in Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Yidnu lev dekechamim matana, gifted to a non-Jew." So you see, we pass it, and it's easier to use it. But in this case, you borrow it back. And then the Ramah says, you know what? If you live in a place where there's no mikveh, this is your Eitzah. Once again, the food does not become awesome. So this was the suggestion that Rabbi Willig organized before Pesach, and he organized it in a very, very efficient way that one could do the kinyan to an Einu Yehudi, and that is obviously a very good suggestion. I was very, very concerned about it, but I obviously was makabel the hayrov of my rebbeim. One of the reasons why we didn't just shut down the mikveh right away and go with the mechira is that when one gives the keli over to the Einu Yehudi in his hands and he does a kinyan meshicha, that's a good kinyan. But when you don't know who the goy is and he hasn't seen the keli and it becomes like a mechiras chometz. So as Rosher Weiss writes in a very, very short tshuva, he says, for hundreds of years, Rabbanim have been trying to figure out, I don't know if I have it here, have been trying to figure out, yeah, how to sell the chametz to a goy when you don't have the chametz going over to the hands of the goy. So he says, Efshar lahaknis the goy, the bold face of a zeh ba'ayasi ma'oid, very problematic. Marveches ha'kinyanim bein yisro l'goy ma'oid murkeves. It's very, very complicated. Masayim shona apoiskim oskim b'sheila zula gabi mechiras chometz, hundreds of years, 200 years. And therefore, he thinks that that is not the best way to go. Again, I had my own reservations because I think that Klal Yisrael has suffered a lot because of the institutionalization of mechiras chometz and Pesach, that it has created a ghost that that Klal Yisrael can always figure out an end run and a way around. So I'm nervous about expanding what Klal Yisrael's Mekabel or Mekabel. In any event, after Pesach, so this option of having an ongoing harshah with a mechira, with Rabbi Willig's supervision and him taking care of the kinyan, so that was no longer available to us. So the idea of going over to an Einu Yehudi and saying that I want to sell you my kelim, and the possibilities of having any kind of genuine mechira, any genuine gifting, that the Einu Yehudi really understands what's happening, is very, very rare. We know in our community, however, Rabbi Willig has worked for years to make sure that the Einu Yehudi who buys our chametz has a very sophisticated understanding of the mechira. That is a very, very hard thing to cultivate, especially if the Yehudi involved is not so convinced that he's actually selling his keli to the Einu Yehudi. So if two people are skeptical about it, it's questionable whether this mechira has any strength. And that's why I veered away from it. The halacha is that if a person does have kelim, that he sold to the Eini Yehudi. He has kelim erev Pesach. So now it's post Pesach. We have to bring it to the mikveh. Why have to bring it to the mikveh? Because first of all, because my assumption is that, well, look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mikol mokim liachar Shabbos tzarich ladbila. He came into the b'soif. He nishka keli tachas yodei hu kishaloi kein kosev ataz. Because the Taz says, even though I sold it to the guy and he lent it back to me, but once it's part of my household, once I'm using it, so then the Taz holds that it unravels the sale. And I don't know if it undermines the sale from the beginning, but it unravels the sale, and I'm getting it back from the Yehudi, and it requires tevila. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, because it still may belong to the guy, one should do tevila without a bracha, or do tevila with something else. Now, or give it to the toiler. Now, Lanias Daiti, we do not have to be concerned about this hayura of the Mishnah Berurah, because I think in our case it is absolutely clear that the gift to the guy was only till we get our mikvah open. So I don't think that the gift to the guy is a meiros Hashana. So if that's the case, then we would certainly have a chiyuv of tefilas kelim. However, the approach that I've been suggesting is the approach of being mafkir. Now, and I was very, very gratified that I found that Rosh Hashanah Shlita has the same approach, and that Rosh Shlomo Zalman has the same approach. Now, just back up for one moment, and that is that probably many of you are asking a very, very good shaila, and you're saying, how could Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the Sochet Shavu Rebbe say that I'm not mechuyav, and Tzachi, it was Muhammad Tzachi, that if I can't do the tefillah, I am not mechuyav to do the tefillah. Why didn't Shulchan Aruch say that? Why didn't Shulchan Aruch say it's Shabbos and the mikveh is, and you can't do tefillahs kelim on Shabbos? So why did the Shulchan Aruch say, I have an eitzah for you, sell it to the Eini Yehudi and borrow it back? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, I understand, maybe Sochet Shavu Rebbe is going to go up against Achron the Beis Yosef. I get it, he has a shalom in the Beis Meir. All right? But Rav Shlomo Zalman, to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, impossible. Shulchan Aruch didn't say, like the Sochet Shavu Rebbe says, that you don't have to do tefillah. Why is that? So there could be numerous reasons. One reason is to say that the Shulchan Aruch paskins the Rambam, that it is usur to use, that it is not, that it is that the Torah said you can't use, not as a bitul mitzvah. You know, we'll answer the Beis Meir's kasha some other way. Or maybe the Shulchan Aruch is cheshesh for both, but it's not clear that because we were solved the Beis Meir's question, that that's the only way we can solve it. So it's very possible that Shulchan Aruch paskins otherwise, and against this blitz of the Sochet Shavu Rebbe. Now, again, Rosh Shlomo Zalman would not go against Shulchan Aruch. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say, well, first of all, we may not have the access to a goy, like Rav Weiss says, to make kinyanim with a goy. So in our situation, but that's not the issue is, why didn't Shulchan Aruch say you don't need the goy? So it's possible that Shulchan Aruch says, if I have a non-Jew available to me, so then why shouldn't I get around being mevatel the mitzvah? I'm not supposed to be mevatel the mitzvah. So if I can't do tevilah, I'm not mevatel the mitzvah. But let's say I could remove my chiyuv, then I'm also not mevatel the mitzvah. So maybe I have an obligation to make sure I'm not mevatel the mitzvah. So if I have an Eini Yehudi who's right there and is available to me, so I have another way to make sure that I'm not mevatel the mitzvah. That could be a possibility. And Rav Shlomo Zalman had another way of suggesting that why did Shulchan Aruch suggest the another concern that we have by giving it to goy, it's a haroma. And by haroma and mitzvah deraisa, we would be concerned about it. So the once again, the suggestion that we had over the course of the last parsha was to be mafkir. Now, and being mafkir, once I'm mafkir it, so then it's not my keli, and I'm not mechuyev to, there's no chiyuv tefilas keli. I'm using a keli belongs to hefker. So the Shulman Zalman did accept the idea of being mafkir as well, and the concern of being mafkir is the hefker genuine? So my approach was that if it was a very expensive keli, then I was very nervous of being mafkir. But if the keli was not so expensive, then I'm comfortably mafkir. In fact, very often when it comes to kalim that have electric connections and the that are electric kalim, so very often the manufacturer says don't dunk these. Now there are cowboys who say don't worry, you can dunk it and let it dry for 3 weeks, it'll be fine. But as a rabbi, I have to follow the instructions. I can't tell you, I can't take a chance on giving you advice that the manufacturer says could ruin your keli. So my approach usually is that, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if I can't be toivel, no mitzvah tefila, no easter in using it. All right, I already have what we call ashle rababeve to be seimechon. Number two, if it's not very expensive, be mafkir. Another possibility is to unscrew a few screws, make it something that you can't use, screw it back together again. Then a Yehudi made it, not an Eini Yehudi. The Shlomo Zalman does not like that because he thinks that that you really have to take it apart entirely. Rav Moshe's approach is to be tovel the surfaces that you can be tovel without getting it wet. And on many, many appliances, that simply doesn't work. You simply can't get to all of the surfaces. So my approach usually is that there is a shita of the Chelkas Yaakov that if it is plugged, if it only works when it's plugged in, it's considered to be mechuber. And there, as we began, we said that there are shitas who hold that if it's mechuber, it's not chayiv tefila. Again, everything we're saying is very much debated by the poskim. But you can mitzaref all of these shitas. Number one, Rosh Shlomo Zalman's shita that if it can't be nitbal, then it is not chayev in tevil. There's no Easter using it. Number two, that the Chelkas Yaakov, who says that if it's plugged in, it's mechuber. All right, that's highly questionable if it's an urn that can be used without being plugged in to dispense cold water. But as an immersion heater, if it's a waffle maker, if it's a toaster, if it's a George Foreman that has absolutely no use of being, without being plugged in, then there's a strong argument saying this thing is useless without being mechuber. So that is that would be another tzad lahokel. And then if it's not too expensive to be mafkir, I can't say mafkir is a winning argument because there's a concern of being mafkir. Is hefker genuine? If I take it back, I'm using it day in and day out, is that real hefker? So each of these mahalchim has a question, but when you mitzaref them all together, then you have a strong position. And if there's some screws to undo a few screws, even though Shlomo Zalman doesn't accept it. So that is the approach. And then to top it all off, if we have a good snow, then I say, put it into a snowbank. Again, a snowbank is also not accepted by all the postmans. Many Dosa Kalim don't accept snow, but there are many reasons why snow would be good. So that's my mahalach when it comes to electric Kalim, heavily based on Rav Shlomo Zalman's blitz, which I know, I believe that Rav Shechter accepts the halacha l'maaseh. I'm not sure if me shitase. So now coming back to, but this, I just want to finish up with this, with the question of being mafkir. Question is being mafkir really something that should really work? I'm using it. I'm not really mafkir it. So first of all, Shlomo Zalman says, I understand that's a good question, but he says, when it comes to bir beer, peyre shviyas, we are samech on, if it's a safek beer, we are samech on being mafkir the fruit and then taking it back and using it. And then I had a svar Baruch Hashem, and I saw that Rav Asher Weiss had the same svar, and then I found that the Alter Rebbe has this svar in Shulchan Aruch. It's a magnificent svar, the way the Alter Rebbe says it. He says that I understand that you're concerned that the hefker might not be good hefker, but if you want, but why? Because I'm using it. But if the hefker is the way, then you will not be over in Yisir. Then you want the hefker to be genuine. It's for sure a hefker b'leiv sholim. But the Alter Rebbe says a huge chiddush. I have an animal. I'm mechuyev in shvisas behema. I lent it out to a non-Jew and he said, don't use it on Shabbos. And he doesn't respect my deal and he's using it on Shabbos. And now my animal's being used on Shabbos. I'm over Yisr Shvisa. The Alter Rebbe says, be mafke the animal. I'll have it after Shabbos. You want this animal back? The Alter Rebbe says, but you don't want to be over Shvisa on Shabbos and Yisr. So the hefker is going to be a hefker b'leib sholem. And then the Alter Rebbe says, it goes a step further. And he says that you can be mafkir it only when the guy's using it. When the guy's not using it, take it back. So once you have, again, the broad shoulders of the Alter Rebbe, this is such a powerful svara. So then, yesh harbein l'smoch. However, achrik chleis akoil, when the mikveh opens, we bring the tkelim to the mikveh, and we get them tovled, so we don't have to be samech on at tzirif hashitas. So again, the parsha of COVID helped us go a little bit deeper into the mitzvah tfilas kelim. And just to again summarize what we said, we began with the, to make sure that there's an Isur Hashtamshus. We discussed, is Isur Hashtamshus a matir or a mitzvah? So we pointed out that we paskin, it seems the hachras of poiskim is that it is a mitzvah. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman follows the Sochet Shev Rebbe says, to answer the Beis Meir's kasha, that it is a bitul asay. And therefore, if I cannot do the mitzvah, if the mikvah is closed, I'm not mevapel the asay. However, there are questions against this question. Why does Shulchan Aruch even figure another svara on Shabbos? Why don't you just say, can't do tefillah on Shabbos? Why do you have an eitzah of selling it to a guy? So we have to find another eitzah. So the eitzah that I'm suggesting it was to be mafkirit. You'll tell me that it's not a genuine hefker. So first of all, Shlomo Zalman held that it's good as it is. You don't require anything else. But in order that the to be on solid ground, let's say be mafkirit, as long as it makes some sense, it's not a very expensive keli, and the hefker is genuine Alter Rebbe's svara because every Jew wants to make sure that over Nisr. So the tzvila is going to be, the hefker is going to be a genuine hefker. The materials which require tzvila, I see from the chat, are metal and glass. Metal and glass require enamel is usually a metal which is coated with something and therefore should require tevila without a bracha. And the if one buys from a Jewish store but the keli was made by is manufactured by non-Jews, then it does require tevila, and lids also do require tevila. All right, let's just end again with this powerful svar of the Alter Rebbe that the genuineness of a Jew not wanting to be over an Isser, make sure that the hefker is a good hefker, and that is a halacha and musar at the same time. So again, I thank you very much for the opportunity to look at these halachas. Please, I need to get off right now because the next year is coming, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. But this way, if there are any questions, we've created the framework, and please call me up with any further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Erev Tov.
Thank you. Labor Day.
Was that?
We have to review.